So good, so good. I do love that song and that whole Horatio Spafford is an amazing story, and that was unplanned. And this morning, that was just on my heart this morning for both services, and just, man, it's just a real story from real people. When you know the story behind some of these songs, it becomes real from real hands, from real writing, from real people that go through real things. What's up, son? Take your time, guys. Bye, Todd. Love it. You got that? You need help with that? You good? You got it? All right. Because I could help you. I'm still, he thinks he's bigger than me. He's not, but he can always take your kids. Man, it is great to be here this morning. We got a cruise, man. We're late. We started late, so give me a few minutes. The announcement guy went long today, so that's why we were late. Parking lot guys love me. Come on, let's get into this, please. I got a word this morning, and I believe that as we stay in this series on the soul, when I was in Dominican Republic this last time, these are just things that just the Lord really put in my heart about body, soul, and spirit, and just thinking it's for me and then knowing it's for us, and just the excitement of what comes from our soul. And it's what you feed your soul, it's what's going to come out of the soul. And just what a great lesson. Love to have Jesse Poley's with us this morning. He is a part of SCORE. He's one of our missionaries at SCORE. And we're looking at setting up some trips to the DR coming soon. Jesse, we love you. We honor you this morning. And glad that you are here with us today with your friend Heather, man. Heather, bless you, my friend. So glad you guys are here. If you could turn with me, please, Matthew 16. If you give me a couple minutes extra this morning. I'm trying so hard to get out of here on time on a Sunday morning. But Matt talks a lot, so it's just... I'm working on it. But I want to look at the tale of two souls, and this is a continuation to next week. So you got to be here next week because we'll close out this whole soul series. And it's called Lighten Up, but it's really not the best title because I had a whole different thought for that and where I wanted to go. But if you have, if your soul's in good condition, right, and your heart's in good condition, there's a joyful spirit that comes from that. So I want to look at this morning, and we're going to talk about Judas and Peter. And we're going to look at, watch this now, what happens when you actually think your agenda matters? Honestly, when you actually think my agenda, I'm going to put my agenda, I'm serving the Lord, and I'm going to put my agenda even before Jesus' agenda. What happens when you think I'm doing right and I'm doing good and we just say that, man, it's going really well for me and I like it to do this way when Jesus' agenda is the one that actually matters? And what happens when you put your agenda before Jesus' agenda? And we're going to look at this morning from two individuals, Peter and Saul. We're going to look at the tale of two souls here, and then we continue this on to Peter's 40-day journey after this, and that'll be next week, so don't miss that. Come on, look at this, Matthew 16, it says this. Lord, speak to us this morning. Thank you for your word. It's alive and powerful. God, just speak into our lives and our souls and our spirits as we walk out of this place today, different from when we came in this place. Thank you for our time of worship. We love you. We honor you in his house. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Look at verse 21, Matthew 16, 21. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. So here, these dudes have been hanging out with Jesus for about 3 years, and this is now kind of coming to the end of the road, and Jesus is now starting to let the cat out of the bag. Hey, guys, this is what's about to happen. And it's great because Jesus' time is always perfect time. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he knew, I'm going to wait kind of to it. I'm not going to let him know right off the bat what's going to take place in Jerusalem. But here he begins this journey to let his guys know, let his 12 know. Guys, listen, you've been hanging with me for a couple years now, and I need to let you know something. I need to let you in on the whole plan. And just before this, you see, they understood him to be the Messiah. His very first words to Peter were, follow me. So they understood what it was to follow Jesus. They understood where Jesus just before this, like, hey, guys, who do people say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Come on, really? He's my cousin. Can't really be him. We're on the earth at the same time. Well, some say that you're Elijah or you're one of the prophets. And he looks at Peter and says, well, who do you say that I am? And out of all the disciples, Peter pipes in and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the you're the Messiah. So Peter has an idea that there's times that he speaks, and he speaks so strong, and he speaks so right. There's times that he puts his foot in his mouth so many times. And here, so Jesus is trying to piece this thing together for his guys. And he comes to this place and says, listen, this is what's going to happen, guys. We're going to Jerusalem. When I get to Jerusalem, the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, they're going to arrest me. And then they're going to kill me. And I think if we read the story, we see Peter just kind of zoned out at that point. Because right after he said they're going to kill me, he says, then I'll be raised up on the third day. And I don't know if you read the story, if actually Peter heard the last part of the sentence. He said, listen, we're going to Jerusalem, and the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, they're going to arrest me, they're going to take me in custody, and then I'm going to be killed. Isn't it amazing? At times we hear part of the story, and we react to part of the story. And then you see here, he says, and be raised up on the third day. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Hey, Peter. And rebuke, it means to strongly correct. Peter, you're... I mean, what does that scene look like? Peter, you're rebuking Jesus. He took him... Oh, Jesus, let me clue you in. Come on, let me talk to you here over here. Just, I don't want to embarrass you in front of the boys. I need to take you aside. I just have a little conversation. And then the Bible says he pulls him aside to rebuke Jesus. No, Jesus, you can't. Listen, I've been with you for so long now. It's almost 3 years. And we've been walking. I've seen your miracles. I've seen your power. I've seen your authority. Man, I've seen you heal. I've seen you raise the dead. I've seen you take leprosy right out by your word. Listen, you even healed my mother-in-law, Peter. Thank you. Amen. I think that's a good thing that you healed my mom-in-law. I have a great mom-in-law. I do. She's great. But here you've got Peter, and he's like, Jesus, I don't think that's the way it's going to go. A true story. Peter's taking him aside going, Jesus, I don't think that's the way this should go. And then watch Jesus' response. It's amazing. What happens, church? Can we just put ourselves, these are real men, and this is a real story with a very real individual who says, Jesus, I don't think that's the way it should go. How many times in our life have we said, you know what? Jesus, I don't know if that's the way it should go. I don't really see it your way. I think I'm going to insert my own agenda here. And this is exactly what Peter's doing. He's like, Jesus, I don't. That's not a really good plan. I don't know if I like your plan. And Jesus, I don't think it should go that way. Watch, this is huge. And Peter took him aside, verse 22, and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, God forbid it, Lord. God forbid it, Lord, that this shall never happen to you. I don't like that plan. Jesus, what are you talking about? How can you? Listen, Jesus, you're starting to scare the other guys here. You're talking to us like you're not going to be around. We've put all of our stock in you. Every one of us have left our business. Every one of us, we've left what we have forever known as fishermen. We've given it all up to follow. And now you're telling us that you're going to just die? What about us, Jesus? What about what we've given up? Jesus, come over here. I think you're starting to scare the boys because they've really given up a lot to follow you. I don't think that's a good plan, Jesus. Matter of fact, he says, God forbid it that this shall never happen to you. Hey, Peter, guess what? It was God ordained. It was God's plan from the very beginning. It was completely, totally his idea. And if you honestly believe that this shall never happen to you, then everyone on the earth will never have salvation because the Lamb has to go to the cross and die and be raised up on the third day for the redemption and the forgiveness of mankind. Hey, Peter, you don't realize it, but you're messing with everybody. Peter, you don't realize that your agenda is messing with everyone who's ever breathed, Peter. You don't get it that you're saying, God forbid it. Jesus, this will never happen to you. I don't like your plan. Listen, I've given up a lot to follow you, and I don't think that you should die. Watch Jesus. This is amazing. But he turned and said to Peter, like I could imagine they're walking and Jesus just hears all this and he stops and he turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Like, could you imagine that moment where Jesus is hearing all this? Hey, God forbid it. Jesus, this is a bad plan. This shall never happen to you. And literally, Peter's messing with every person who's ever breathed because it has to happen to Jesus. It's an absolute must, or we don't have any hope today. So Peter, you're messing with everybody now in what you're saying. And Jesus puts an end to it and says, stop. Get behind me, Satan. I can imagine a silence over everyone that's around. What just happened? Because we were kind of thinking Peter was right. Like, that's a bad idea, man. That's a bad plan, Jesus. And he just turned around and shut Peter down. And yeah, actually called him Satan. Watch why. Look at this. This is huge. For you are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. Church, what happens when we see what really is in our soul and what's in our soul is self? What happens when we've lost the truth of what it is to set our souls on God's agenda and not on our own agenda? Look what Jesus says. He makes it so clear. Listen, you're a stumbling block to me. Listen, Peter, you're getting in the way. Peter, you need to stop because you're getting in the way of what I need to do. Listen, Peter, stop putting your interest on yourself or on man's interest, but start putting it towards me. You got to get a clue here, Peter. This is what has to happen. It has to happen for all mankind. And listen, Peter, if you can't get that, get out of the way. Come on, have you ever had the Holy Spirit just moving you to really say, Sean, you're in the way? Sean, if you would just remove yourself, if you would just let me work, because my plan is better than your plan. I think this is what's happening here, because we see Jesus get very serious. I mean, you don't tell somebody to get behind you, Satan, if you don't want to change the atmosphere of what's taking place. He says, Peter, listen, you're a stumbling block to me. Peter, you're in the way. Peter, get out of the way. Peter, get out of the way. Because you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but on your own or on man's. Church, what happens when we start feeding our soul truth and we start feeding our soul the reality of who God really is and how great he is, even in the midst, even in our song, man, even in the midst of hurt and brokenness, even in the midst of tragedy and tears, you come to a place, say, God, I'm going to put my soul, I'm going to put my interest on yours and not my very own. I'm just going to get out of the way and let you work. I'm gonna remove myself from this crazy, and I'm just gonna let you work. Watch what happens. Look what Jesus says. And then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Listen, this is the deal. Guys, gather up, listen to this. You heard what just took place. You just heard what Peter said. Peter, you're not paying attention. This is what has to happen. Get out of my way, Peter, if you're gonna get in the way of what's gotta take place. Listen, the reality is this. He says, this is what has to happen. If you wish to come after me, if you wish to follow me, you've gotta do something. You've gotta deny yourself. You gotta make it not about you. You need to remove your plan and you need to remove your agenda. Can I ask you, what is in your soul? Is it the plan of God? Is it his interest? Is it feeding your soul the truth of his word? Or is it yourself? Because this is what must happen. This isn't a gray area in scripture. It must. You must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. There's no minced words here, man. It's so crystal clear. And church, when we come to this place to see what is in our soul, he says this, for whichever Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now watch this. Here it is, verse 26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? He's when you finish the context of this verse and this part of scripture, he's talking directly to our souls. He says, what is it, Peter, if you just take up temporary gain and you think you're going to somehow change my mind to going to Jerusalem and being arrested and being killed? That's not, what are you feeding your soul? Hey, Peter, guess what's in your soul? Self. Why would you want to gain such a temporary gain here in the world, but you would forfeit your soul? See, I love it where Jesus wraps this whole thing up in this encounter with Peter and saying, God, I'm going to do this my way. God, I like my agenda better than your agenda. I think I've got a better idea than you do, Lord. I think we should do it this way. And you know in your spirit, God's going, you need to get out of the way. Because you're worried more about your interest than mine. You're worried more about your agenda than mine. And Jesus says, he who first fits the soul, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And I love where it's talking about this in a sense of, what am I feeding my soul? Look, come on, look at this real quick. John 18. And I love this here, where we see that Jesus has already addressed Peter. When Peter comes to a place to say, Lord, I got this. Well, we see Peter do that again. And this is now just hours before it really goes deep for Peter. Jesus is in the garden. He's just finishing up praying. And you've got this gentleman named Judas Iscariot, which if you've been in church any time long, you know that he's the bad guy of the disciples. He's the one that played around for about 3 years. Followed Jesus. Saw Jesus and his great, amazing works. Witnessed Jesus raise their friend Lazarus from the dead. Witnessed Jesus stop a whole funeral procession, put his hand on the coffin, and watch this young man come to life. He saw leprosy leave. He saw Jesus' compassion. He was there to witness that Jesus had such great mercy for those who would never be extended mercy. He had such great grace for those who were so broken. Judas, he saw all of this. Yet what was really in his soul? Watch, church, you can play Jesus for a long time. What was really in your soul is going to show up. If you're really living for self and you've put your agenda before his, it's going to reveal itself. And you've got Judas, and just a little bit before that, they're at supper, and Jesus says, hey, listen, when are you going to betray me? And then the Bible says that everyone's starting to ask questions. Well, who could it be? It's not me. No way. Whoop, it can't be me. It's probably going to be Peter. Maybe it's Matthew. You just imagine, like, the questions, right? And Jesus said, the one who dips his hand in the morsel with me, he's the one who will betray me. And I don't know why people didn't catch this. These disciples were slow, and Judas puts his hand in right after this statement, and Jesus looks at him with eye contact and says, what you do, do quickly. I don't know if Judas caught on at that moment, but what if Jesus looked you in the eye to eye and he let you know, dude, I know your plan. Dude, I know you're the one. He always knew. But there's this eye contact before Jesus and Judas, and he says, hey, what you are going to do, do quickly. So Judas goes out and he literally tries to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He goes to those he knows who he hates, goes to the scribes and the Pharisees. Listen, I know where he's going to be, and I know the exact moment that you can arrest him. And the one that I go up to and I kiss, that's Jesus, and he's the one that you need to arrest for 30 pieces of silver. So we look back here in John 18, and I'm almost done. I want you to see this. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went with his disciples over the ravine in Kedron, where there was a garden, in which he entered with his disciples. And he goes and he prays. And then verse 2, and now Judas, who was betraying him, knew the place. Listen, guys, I'm so close to him. I know where he's going to be. I mean, when you look at this word betray, I don't know about you, but when I read this story over and over, there's just something that just, it just twinges in my spirit. How could he do this? What is wrong with you, Judas? Why, is it just so we have a good story? Like, Judas, really, what was in your soul that you came to a place to betray Jesus? To know Jesus so well, to be so close to Jesus, I know where he's going to be. I know what's taking place. And then you, the Bible says a Roman cohort came. You know how much a Roman cohort is? That's up to 600 soldiers. Church, watch this. This is crazy. And this is an amazing event where Judas comes to Jesus to betray Jesus. And Jesus knows that he's going to do it with a kiss. And here, watch this. Judas already told him, hey, I'm going to go up to him. And the one that I kiss, that's the one you arrest. Luke 22 tells us that Judas came to Jesus, and Jesus being Jesus, knowing all things. Could you imagine the eye contact in this moment where Jesus sees Judas, and Judas is coming to Jesus. Judas just putting on a show, man. He's smiling. He's saying, hey, whoop, high five, Jesus. How you doing, buddy? The Bible says Jesus looked at him. Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Could you imagine that? Why, yes, I am. I mean, what does Judas say at that point? And Judas then proceeds to give him a kiss. Let's pick it up right here and we'll close this thing out. And Jesus says this. In verse 3, Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Church, you got to see the scene here, man. There's about, it could be 600 or more, because you have the officers of the chief priests and the Pharisees. There is a crowd of anywhere between 200 to 600 with torches. This is at night. So you've got all, could you imagine this picture of all these torches, maybe 600 deep of torches and lanterns and weapons, which could be the weapons of that day were spears, and they were just coming in. And watch this. This is amazing. And verse 4, so Jesus, knowing all things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, who do you seek? So I love it. Jesus kind of steps in front. Says, hey, who are you looking for? And they answered him and said, Jesus the Nazarene. And watch this. He says to them, I am he. And one of the Bible names for Jesus and for God Almighty is the I am. And Jesus, right, watch this now. Jesus is declaring his name. And he says, listen, I am. I am who you're seeking. I am he. And then this moment, look at what it says. In this moment, the Bible says they all fell over to the ground. What a scene that is. Listen, church, we have our candlelight services, and we have the little candles with the pads, and we have people getting burnt over a little, our Christmas Eve candlelight service, people getting burnt because we can't handle a little baby flame. But I want you to see the real picture here. This is a real picture of you've got up to 600 men with torches and lanterns. Lanterns were fire. They didn't have batteries. Lanterns were fire, and they had spears. What would happen if you had all of them just fall over to the ground, one on top of the other? How many were getting burned? How many were actually possibly getting cut with the spears? How many, maybe possibly clothing and robes that they would wear in that day were catching on fire? Church, this is a true story. Because of the mention of his name, the Bible falls over, and I put myself as a Roman soldier in his shoes. Could you imagine getting yourself up off the ground and looking at your partner next to you going, what are we doing here? What just happened? We're going to arrest this guy when all he did was say three words, I am he, and every one of us fell to the ground? What are we doing here? So Jesus, in his brilliance, asks a second time, who do you seek? Hey, guys, I want you to stand back up, like, put out your fires and your robes and do what you do. Hey, guys, who are you looking for? We're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene. And then Jesus answered and said, I told you that I am he. Now, I want you to see this. Don't miss this. Because he says this most amazing words. He says this, I told you that I'm he. So if you seek me, and you got to remember his disciples are with him. And we know that Jesus stepped out in front. He says, listen, if you seek me, watch this, watch this. Look at your verse for a minute. Just look at what it says, because this is so critical. This is so huge. He says, if you seek me, I see Jesus doing this. I see Jesus stepping out. Guys, who are you looking for again? Jesus the Nazarene. Okay, great. I told you that I'm he. He steps out. His disciples are behind him going. His disciples are like, what is happening? Why are all these people coming after our teacher, our rabbi? And Jesus says this. He says, listen, if you're seeking me, then let these go. Church, what is that? Church, that's the gospel. He says, listen, take me, but let them go. Release them. It's the same idea with God. God, I get it. I've got to go. But man, let your wrath fall on me. Come on, I'll take the hit for your wrath. Lord, let me take on the sins of the world. But in this, let me be the redemption. Let me be the justification. Let me be their sanctification. Let me be the one that allows them because I took the hit. That God Almighty, your wrath won't touch them. That God, you let them know. Church, it's just the gospel. He's always about the gospel. And I see this in this picture where Jesus steps out front, pushes his guys back, said, listen, if you're going to take me, you need to let them go. I love the picture. Last thing is this, that Peter steps forward. I could just see Peter maybe at the front of line or the back of line. He's running up and he takes Jesus and pulls him back, and he takes out his little sword. It might have been a little fishing sword. I mean, he's a fisherman. He's not a soldier. And he takes out this little dagger of a sword, and he goes to fight for Jesus. I'll protect you. Jesus, it can't. Remember, it can't happen this way. The Bible says that he takes out a sword and he slices after the slave of the high priest. And he's just a fisherman, so he's a terrible aim, and he just cuts off the guy's ear. Again we see Peter going, I got this. Again we see Peter going, Lord, I don't like this plan. I don't think this is the way it should go. This is exactly what's taking place. Again. Jesus again. Peter, stop. It has to happen this way. Peter, it's not about your agenda. It's not about your interest. Peter, stop. Could you imagine the scene where he picks the ear, this bloody, massive mess of flesh? He picks it up off the ground, puts it on the guy's face, and he heals his ear. What? Imagine everyone around, including the slave, going, what are we doing here? What is happening? I'm not even bleeding anymore, and I can hear better than I've ever heard, but what is going on? Why are we arresting this guy? But he tells Peter, put your sword back. Peter, stop. Church, how many times do we do this? How many times do you and I do this when we try to do it our way? We think it's going to be my agenda. We think we're actually doing Jesus' service. Jesus, I got this. Hey, Lord, take a break. I got this. Hey, Lord, I got this. Seriously, I'm going to protect you. This was Peter's mindset. Jesus, I'll protect you. I got this. Stand behind me. Listen, some would say, oh, he's so brave. Yes. Man, Peter's got great courage. Yes. But Peter's like, I'm gonna protect Jesus. Church, can I be real to let you know, Jesus doesn't need you to protect him. Jesus doesn't need your agenda to come forward like you think you're doing him a great service. How is it that when, man, I got close. How is it that when we come to this place to look into your soul and say, am I trying to do it my way? Or am I just gonna take a step back? Say, Jesus, I need you to do it your way in me. Because, man, a lot of us want to charge. A lot of us want to be brave. A lot of us want to be courageous. But what happens in your soul, in every circumstance you find yourself in, you come to a place to say, I get it. I'm just going to allow you to do your work in me. I said, I've always wanted to charge forward. You honestly would come to a place, watch this, you would come to a place to let go of your soul. Come on, bow your heads. And you would honestly, you would come to a place to quit fighting. And we want to fight, and we want to fight, and we want to serve, and we want to serve, and we think we're going to get his attention. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for you. And listen, we would say, Peter, your motive was right. Yes, Jesus, you're not going to die. It can't happen this way. We're buddies. I've been with you, man. This is, man, no. You're not taking my rabbi. You're not taking my teacher. You're not taking the Messiah. No, and he takes out his sword. He's ready to go. I've got your back, Jesus. I've got your front, Jesus. I'll protect. I'll do this for you, Jim. We work and we work and we work and we just try so hard. When Jesus is like, would you stop? Would you please put your sword away? Would you please just stop trying so hard and let go of your soul? I think for some of us, it's Jesus just like, would you just let me in? Would you please just let me in? If you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, today is your day that you would just come to a place and say, I'm done struggling in my soul. Jesus, come into my life. It's you. It's just you asking the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm separate from you. I know, I believe that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I know that I can't get to heaven by anything that I've done right. I can't get to heaven by any other type of religion. I can't get, there's absolutely no other way because of my sin. But yet, Jesus, you died for me. God, you loved me and sent your son to die on a cross for me. If you come to a place to repent from your sin, turn from your sin, believe in Jesus as the only way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father but through me. That's what Jesus said. There is no other way. And it's on us to believe in Jesus. Jesus, I believe. And believe, it means trust. It's an act of faith. And then we come to this place to confess that he is Lord. Repent, believe, and surrender. We confess, you're master. You're Lord. You're in charge. I get it. I surrender. And for those of us in this place as followers of Christ, you know you've been in Peter's shoes. I've been in Peter's shoes where I just try and I try and I try and I try and I try. And at the end of the day, the truth is that I've been pushing my own agenda. I've been pushing my own interests. And I could just hear the Lord whisper in my heart saying, Sean, just get out of the way. Just get out of the way. Would you let me do what I can do in you? Quit trying. Father, we thank you for your word. God, it's so real and it's so true. God, I pray for everyone in this place. I pray for our souls, God, will be open to you, that we would know what it is to let go of our soul. We can walk out of this place saying, God, it's well with my soul. I'm done fighting. I'm done working so hard. I'm done struggling. I'm done with my own agenda. I'm done doing it my way. I'm just going to get out of the way. I'm asking that you step in front of me and let me just follow you. Can you please just get that picture in your mind that you would step aside and allow Jesus to go before you, and then you fall in line and just follow him. Jesus, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, and then we'd walk in a place to feed our soul, rest and truth. We would walk in not our own interest, but your interest alone. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Church, thank you for your patience. Amen. I know I talk a lot, but I love you anyways, and just love me anyways. The Bible says you have to, so just love me.